And welcome to the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald, the End Time Shofar. Today's podcast will be dealing with Revelation chapter 9. Is China really the 200 million man army in Bible prophecy? Most popular, both past and present, Bible teachers here in America like to point out that they strongly believe that the nation of China will produce a 200 million man army. However, in this podcast, we'll examine if that question, if it is really true that China can be the possible nation that will field that 200 million man army and also be the king of the East, which Revelation chapter 16 talks about. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. That would be the primary focus in this podcast. We'll be reading it its whole entirety. It says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came up on the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth that have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them 5 months. The torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it, and they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like women's hair. And their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running in the battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound in the great rivers Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the army of the 200 or the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision and those who sat on them, breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, and by fire and smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works and their hands, and they that should not worship, demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." May the Lord add a reading and blessing to His word. First of all, we just like want to get into what popular teaching amongst American Bible prophecy teachers. They like to teach that They really believe that China has been identified as being the king of the East in Revelation 16. And then this massive 200 million army or individual army identifies with the nation of China. Some hold the viewpoint due to the fact that China had a law, I believe, in the late 70s, reducing families down to one child, where primarily a lot of the families started to produce just one male child and having emphasized in aborting female children to supply that with just male children. But we can't look at the Bible or Bible prophecy from a Western point of view. We have to look at it from a Middle Eastern or a Near Eastern point of view on how the author saw things that day. Now, popular Bible prophecy teachers like to say, well, how John was visualizing, he didn't know what helicopters were and some other things and all, but you have to know the context of Near Eastern culture and some other things and all imagery to properly understand and properly comprehend and properly break down and try to interpret the book of Revelation, because the same Bible prophecy teachers will say, for example, Wormwood is a meteorite, and this big meteorite is going to strike the earth, and it's seen in Revelation and some other things and all. And we've talked about that in past podcasts, that Wormwood is actually a fallen angel. Stars, which we'll get into in this lesson, when it's talking about stars and other things, it's not talking about natural stars, because even if you're into science, a star is bigger than the planet, is bigger than a meteorite. So if a star was to hit the earth, it would wipe it out totally, because it's massive in size. It doesn't look like it's that massive when you're looking up in the sky, but we're not here to teach science, amen. But you have certain people, Bible, modern day Bible prophecy authors, such as Hal Lindsey in his book, The New World Coming. You have people like John Hagee. You have people like current Bible prophecy teacher Jimmy Evans. They really believe that Revelation 9 fits the description of China being a 200 million man army, which, again, we're going to examine that that's not the case. Now, when we go over to Revelation 9 and we look at verse 1, it talks about, verse 1 and 2 talks about, I saw a star falling from heaven to earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and opened up the bottomless pit. And it says smoke and all these things come out, different imagery. You see locusts, so you can coordinate Exodus, where the plagues of Egypt are taking place with locusts and other things. So Bible prophecy incorporates, our when you look at from a Jewish aspect of prophecy, it's things that can be repeated, things that happen in the past can be in the distant future that will follow the same type of pattern. So we see that also too in Job, when it talks about the canker worm, and it talks about locusts and other things and all. Job is talking about the last days, talking about the moon will turn into blood. And then again, you have people, popular Bible prophecy teachers will like to talk about and write books about blood moons and other things and all, and try to misquote that scripture and to incorporate it to sell books. But here we see these angels are the angels falling. So let's look at what scripture has to say. We're going to look at a couple of key scriptures. Revelation 8 and 10, it says, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as there were a lamp, and fell upon a third part of the rivers and up on the foundations of the waters. Same, we drop down to verse 11. It says, the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So people try to use wormwood as saying it's a star, but we're going to really expose what the Bible, what the Bible writers are talking about when it's talking about stars. It's not talking about a meteorite. It's not talking about a literal star. It's talking about fallen angelic beings. We already read Revelation 9 and 1, but here's a key verse, puts in context what Jesus is talking about. We can look at two scripture verses from the Gospels. One being Matthew 24, verse 29. It says, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and the stars, and I'm reading Mark chapter 13, verse 25, it says, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So here, when we're looking at stars, fallen stars are symbolic of fallen angels or angelic beings. When we look at the writings of Karma Palmer's writings, Dead Sea Scrolls, Revise, or Repeat New Methods, page 175, she makes a commentary of Daniel chapter 8. When we look at Daniel chapter 8, she's looking at it from a Near Eastern motif that stars are gods or angelic beings are angelic beings, while the astral host can be cast as either against, for, or against Yahweh, the God of Israel. And we can look at this in Job chapter 38, verse 7, and Isaiah chapter 24, verses 21 through 23. So here we have a part where these stars are seen as fallen angelic beings. So when we start looking at these creatures being how they look, they're scorpions, but they look like men. They have long hair like women. We have to look at Babylonian, which is Near East, mythology and other things, the scorpion men. Now, John's incorporating thoughts and other things, motifs and things during his age. So when we see scorpion men, it's from Akkadian language myths, including the Enuma Elish, which is a Babylonian version of the Epic of Gilgamesh. So in the Enuma Elish or the Epic of Gilgamesh, we see these scorpion men. So the description of these scorpion men are described of having a head and torso and arms of a man and a body of a scorpion. So we see this within Babylonian writings in regards to the Epic of Gilgamesh and the Enuma Elish. So John is incorporating that. So these are demonic beings, and this 200 million man army can very well be fully demonic, or a mixture of the army could be a mixture of men and demons. Bible scholar David Ahn has the illustration when he's writing about Revelation chapter 9 in this particular verse. He states that the army of tens of thousands appears to be a demonic rather than human army. Huge armies of destroying angels are twice mentioned in the Babylonian Talmud. in the Sub-88A, it is said that 1.2 million angels of destruction punish the Israelites who sinned in the golden calf incident. So a 200-man army could be seen as fully demonic beings or a mixture of demonic beings and human beings. So it can be either fully demonic or a mixture of demonic and human, because even when you look at the verse, scriptures interpret scriptures, it's talking about that these beings will be given the power to torment, not to destroy grass or anything else in the earth, but to torment men for 5 months. So much where God gives the declaration for once these beings are released from the bottomless pit, to torment and not to kill, so much for the fact that men will wish to die and death will flee. And then when we get even further into the scriptures, when it's talking about the 200 million man army, that's when our 200 million army is talking about a third of the earth will be killed. So, and it talks about also too, those that aren't sealed with the seal of God. So that can't be naturally, because again, you hear these Bible prophecy teachers who want to teach you this, talking about, oh, you know, those lions and horses, and it's talking about tanks and specialized helicopters and technology and other things and all. They miss the point. What is John talking about in the context of the East? When we see the Apostle John in the book of Revelations, is he really referring to China as the king of the East? Absolutely not. The answer would be no. John is actually referring to his own cultural context in the Near East, as the people of the East in his time were the Corinthians. And we can look at even when John, the Apostle John, writes the book of Revelation, even Revelation 13, he's talked about the first beast, the son of perdition, the Antichrist figure. Fits the description of Nero. When you look at Nero's name, in, I believe in Hebrew, it adds, or Greek, or both, it adds up to six, the name of the beast, 666. But Nero is seen as that present day type beast or Antichrist figure that will, the future beast will mirror a lot of things of Nero. So Nero at one time had escaped from Rome to Perinthia, only to return to Rome with the Perinthian army. And John sees the Perinthians will come from the rivers Euphrates. So when commentators, they detect that a Neron or Neroian allusion in the Greek name of the locust or Apollyon is given to Nero's frequent identification with the god Apollo. So we see the frequent identification of Nero and the god Apollo. Apollo is also seen as one of the names of Apollyon. Also too, when we see when the first horse is released, see a man riding on a white horse with a bow. There's imagery of Apollo, because Apollo was the god, the Greek god, who also was very much into archery and some other things with the bow and arrow. So we see this imagery of Nero, the Perinthian men were known to wear long hair and be fierce warriors, but John is incorporating some of the Babylonian motifs and Near East motifs and just other things of his day where we are getting that full description. So when we're looking at Revelation 9, it talks about all these things occur and still men don't repent. These judgments are taking place. Men don't repent. So let's go back and review. Number one, the fallen star is a fallen angelic beings, and fallen angelic beings are demonic beings who have been locked up since the days of Noah, are released in the last days. Dead Sea Scrolls talks about this. Dead Sea Scrolls talks about a final culmination of battle of the sons of light versus the sons of darkness. You see all this culminating that's taking place in some Second Temple Judaism writing, the animal apocalypse, where it used animals as imagery, some animals being evil, some being good, all this culmination of things, the final judgment, the final things to come, eschatological events to occur. So we can't go off reading the Bible and teaching the Bible from a Western point of view or a point of view. You even have people when Russia invaded the Ukraine and people were teaching and preaching, oh, this is the start of the battle, probably Gog and Magog and just some other things and all, and misinterpreting the scriptures because they believe Russia is an enemy to the West, to the United States. So therefore, Russia has to be Gog and Magog, not letting you know that Gog is actually a title. And Gog, from a biblical point of view, Gog is seen as a antichrist figure. And Magog was north of Israel, not further north, talking about Russia. So we have to be able to properly interpret the scriptures. We have to know scriptures from a cultural context and not from our own context, because we can try to say this is Bible prophecy being fulfilled because we're taking literal, and don't get me wrong, some events that occur, current events that occur, is confirming Bible prophecy, but you try to take a lot of current events or current day, current modern day things, and then incorporate that and piece that into Bible prophecy. That is not the case. So you have to properly read Revelation 9, read about the plagues that are happening, these demonic beings being released to inflict torment upon men. When we look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, the first 12 verses pretty much tell you that. And then when you read 13 through 21, it's talking about more or less more demonic beings being released, these angels that have been in prison in the Euphrates for all this time are released, and this demonic horde, or what I would like to believe, if it's not fully demonic, it's a mixture of demonic and human aiding, coming together to do some deadly damage. And this is actually a judgment of God. So be good Bereans in these last days. Read the scripture. Take out the time to read Revelation 9 for yourself to get it from context. We have to take stuff, people, when reading the Bible and being Bible students. We can't take things out of context to fit what our cultural context means. We have to really dig in to kind of know the language, which biblical language, when we look at three languages you have to look at when you're looking at things biblically. You're looking at Hebrew, you're looking at Greek, and you're looking at Aramaic languages, which I'm starting to become a little bit more accustomed to trying to learn things when reading scriptures, that. And then you have to also learn from a Near East point of view, and then even during John's time, Greco-Roman culture was very dominant that time. So you have to understand the mindset of John, the Apostle John, when he's writing that. So God bless. Hopefully you received something from our podcast. God bless. Pray for me as I pray for you.